Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to speak on some practical issues tonight. You know, a lot of people are dealing with the issue of trying to maintain peace in their mind. I mean, the reality is that the devil's walking about as a roaring lion. He's trying to mess everybody up, everybody he can. You know, there's all kinds of chaos and trouble and corruption, decay, wickedness, all kinds of junk going on. And, you know, everything that's happening is the enemy. As I told you Sunday, I was praying about all this situation, everything that's going on, and I was praying about it, and the Lord began to deal with me of the fact that it's not political, it's not party, it's not people, it is the devil. He is stirred up because he's on his last leg. And if you've noticed that a lot of the things, even in our own country, they've been more against the word of God than they have been for the Christian principles that this nation was built on. And it's causing a lot of people unrest, and you know, they don't know what to do or what to say, and their mind is going haywire on them, you know, and they don't have any peace because of all the problems, and we're all going to face problems. One time, a man came up to my dad. I never will forget that. I was a teenager, and we was out on the road somewhere. And the man come up to my dad and said, Brother Hagin, would you pray for me that I won't have any more trouble with with the devil? And my dad said, do you want me to pray that you'll die? Because they said, that's the only time that we as humans are going to be away from the devil is when we go to be with the Lord. Because he is against everything that we stand for. He's against God. He proved that when he tried to have a coup up in heaven, got a third of the angels, and then God kicked him and the third of the angels that was with him out. Now that tells me that there's two angels up there for every bad angel. Because only a third of them got kicked out, so that means two thirds of them still left up there, right? Hello, do the math on it, okay? You know. The truth is, as long as we are here in this life, the enemy is going to come against us when we stand up for the things of God, for the word of God. You know, Philippians 1:28 says, not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Now, let me read that from the NIV. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. You know, as we stand for the principles of the Word of God, you're going to find out that there are going to be some people that oppose you. Anybody found that out? Because if they're on the devil's side, they don't like anything that God does. It's what the Bible has told us, that in the last days, this is the way it would be. Anybody ever read that in there? Well, I got 25 people that have read that in the Bible. I know more of y'all that have read that than that. How many of y'all have read that that's the way it's going to be in the last days? Yes, yes. Now, it's real funny when you ask the question like that, a few people raise their hand and everybody else just sits there and looks at you. You ever find out to be that way, Brother Jim, as you speak? Is it that way in Peru too? I guess it's just human nature, huh? You know, here, Paul is stating if the people of God are terrified of our enemies, then our enemy must take it as a sign, if we are not terrified, if we're not terrified, then our enemies take it as a sign of that God is with us, and they don't have a crying chance. But however, the opposite is true. If you are terrified of your enemies, they will realize that they got the upper hand. Hello. See, the challenge now comes for us as God's people to demonstrate that we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, no matter what situation we're in, no matter what problem we're facing, no matter what our circumstances is, we are still in peace. Hello. See, to maintain peace of mind, Isaiah says, if we keep our minds, what? Stayed on him, we'll have peace, right? Is that what that scripture says? Keep our minds on him. Now, God desires that we live in peace and not in turmoil. Now, let's read Philippians 4. I'm going to read it NKJV, and then I'm going to read the NLT. That's the New King James Version and the New Living Translation. All right, I'll give you a chance to turn there. Philippians 4, start with verse 6. We're going to read here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now let's read it from the New Living Translation, and it gives it a little more like we talk. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done for you. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, these verses tell us how to experience the peace of God. Isn't that what it says right there? Now, I want to look at these verses and break them down and look at three different things. First of all, if we're going to get in peace, then according to Philippians 6a, that's what we call it, that's that first part of 6a, be anxious for nothing. And then don't worry about anything. Okay? So then, first of all, we got to get rid of our cares. We can't be anxious. We can't be worrying. We can't be fretting over this or over that. You know, lots of people are taking medication because they're anxious and having panic attacks. You know, people are continually dealing with and are consumed with anxiety and fearful thoughts in their mind. You talk to the medical people and they can tell you this. They deal with this. Now, if you don't guard your mind, you can, if you're not careful, if you don't keep the right thoughts in your mind, you can become delusional and paranoid. Any of you ever met some people that are paranoid? They think stuff about stuff that one guy said, what in the world? Where did you come up with all that? Oh, that's just what could happen. I said, man, there's a lot of things could happen. I said, that's what's the matter with you. You got to quit thinking in that channel. You know, the fact is we are not designated to carry around burdens and cares of life. In Psalms 55:22, if you want to turn there. Once again, I'm going to read from both versions. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. I like the NLT. It says, give your burdens to the Lord and he'll take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. You know, it's funny. Growing up in the church and with your dad as the pastor for, well, he left that last church when I was about 9 years old, in third grade. And then he went out and traveled and preached. And man, there's so many stories. This lady come up one time to dad, said, Brother Hagin, would you pray that the Lord take half my burdens away? I can handle half of them, but I got to get rid of some of them. And dad told her, he said, Lady, I'm not going to pray for you along those lines. That's not scriptural. Well, I just want the Lord to know that I can handle part of this, but he needs to take some of them. Dad said, I'm not going to pray that kind of prayer. He said, the Bible says that you need to get rid of all of them. Let him take all of them, then you don't have to carry any of them. Oh, no, I don't think that would be right. I think some matter her thinking. I mean, the man of God trying to tell her what to do, and she's arguing over it. It's so funny, you know, how many times just growing up with him, being with him, standing there with him, people coming up and talking to him, you know, from the time I was in the fourth grade till, well, what, till he went on to be with the Lord, mostly, except for the years I was gone in the army. But, you know, it is so funny how people say, okay, well, okay, Lord, I can handle this, but I can't handle that. And they want to give it. It says here, all your cares, everything. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. I like that where it says all your worries, all your anxieties, all your concerns, once and for all. Man, I don't know how many people I've seen, you know, growing up in the church, people come to altar pray, come and get rid of their burden, and then they pick them up and take them with them. They don't leave them there. You know, it reminds me of us when we was in the army. We marching, and we got the pack on our back with a shelter and a half on it. That's what they used to have and what they do nowadays. You know, we got our ammunition belt around here with a first aid kit, extra ammo, shovel, and all that stuff, you know. And then you got, these guys nowadays got it made. They got them, that Kevlar helmet and stuff. We had them old steel helmets with a liner in it. They must have weighed 9 pounds or something. How many of you went in with, know what I'm talking about, with them old steel helmets? But hey, they were good, man. If you needed hot water, you could pour some out of your canteen in that old steel helmet and put it on the fire and boil you some water. Anybody ever do that? I did. You know, and we'd be marching with that pack and all that. Got that rifle, that M1 rifle we had. I don't know what they got now. They're probably light. That thing weighs 9 3/4 pounds. It weighed 10 1/4 pounds with a mounted bayonet on it. And you march in, and then they call a halt, and they say, okay, there's a rest stop. And boy, the first thing you want to do, get that pack up. I got anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. But the problem was, in about 10 minutes, you're going to have to put it back on, and you're going to have to walk another 30 miles. Oh, those were the days, guys. Thank God they're over. But I learned a lot, you know. But see, he wants us to roll all of our cares, all everything over on him, and then leave it there. Don't pick it back up. A fellow by the name of Henry Ward Beecher said this: the whole burden of whole life may be rolled on God, not weary him, though it has wearied man. See, it doesn't bother him to carry him. We're not supposed to. Maintaining our peace will help us in dealing with every situation. Look at 37 Psalm now. Look at this. Look at this. Verse number 7, 37th Psalm. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him, of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, don't fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now I like to read that NLT, gives it a, makes it more plain to us. Be still in the presence of the Lord. That's just what we were singing about, right? And wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. You know, the biggest battle you're going to have to fight with the devil is with your mind. He is going to come. He comes here. He talks to you through your mind. Hello. Because you are contacting this world that he's the God in, you're contacting it through your natural senses. That's where he's going to come to you. You're going to have to throw that out, not let it happen. Winning the battle and refusing to be anxious and worrying and being burdened down is the secret of having success in life. You know, I mean, now I'm not trying to be funny or heap anything on us, but if myself, Lynette, Craig, and Denise, as we're the heads of Kenneth Hagin Ministries, we got the church, the schools, daycare, all the ministry, 200 employees, all this stuff. And if I got, if we allowed, got anxious and worried about everything, and I mean, man, I wouldn't even be here tonight. I just learned to not, hey, I tell God, I say, all right, God, I said, this is your deal, not mine. You just put me in charge of it. I'm doing the best job I can, and I'm not going to worry about it. If you can't take care of it, it ain't going to be taken care of. Now, that doesn't mean I don't do anything. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to worry about it. And you need to learn to let, you, don't worry and be so concerned. Be anxious. That's be anxious and worrying and burdened down and full of anxiety, having an anxiety attack. Waking up in the middle of the night because you can't sleep, because you're worrying about this or anxious about that. You know, that's one thing I learned from my dad. I never saw him anxious about, I never saw him walking the floor, not wringing his hands about anything. I saw him praying, but I never saw him wringing his hands about anything. And when he laid down to go to sleep, he went to sleep. Hello, I learned that from him. You know, the first thing we need to do then, if we're going to have peace of mind and live a peaceful life in God, is we got to learn to get rid of all this and not let it burden us down. Then secondly, what's it say there in Philippians 4 on 6b and 7? This B part of the 6th verse and the 7th verse. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Now let's read that in the NLT. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Now that, reading it in the NLT sort of speaks to us a little better. We understand that a little better. It's more into our type of language. But God wants us to bring every situation, every problem that we have, Bring it to him and ask him to do something about it. You know, going back to that lady that came up and asked Dad, said, would you pray that the Lord take half of my burdens away? That's not what he's saying here. He's saying here, come in prayer, bring it all to me. When you know that God is answering your prayer, you have a peace about the situation. John 15:7, we all know it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. And in 1 John 5:14-15, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. I mean, either that scripture is true or it's not true. So, what happens when people don't see the answer right away? They start fretting about it. They get anxious. See, resist. Resist that. Resist from entertaining that. Resist thoughts about that. You know, sometimes we got to realize that when we pray about something that, you know, well, it's not happening like as quick as I thought it would. Well, wait a minute. When you pray, you got to realize God may have to work on somebody else before he can do something about your situation. Hello? See, son, I saw the light come on with some of you. You didn't ever think about that when you pray. See, this may add a little time to the process. Remember, I've told you the story about how that when I was sophomore in high school, taking correspondence course with my dad. They call it homeschool nowadays. And I was traveling, and we didn't have any food from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, until Wednesday afternoon. On Saturday night, we parked the trailer and got it. I helped Dad get it all set up, and we ate the last meal we had of the food. And so that was Saturday. And on Sunday, we went to the church and preached. Dad preached there, and they took us out to eat. And so that was good. And so we went home. And then, now you got to remember, I'm a sophomore in high school. I'm about 6'2", weigh about 130 pounds. And my dad said I had hollow legs. So, but anyway, I'm getting hungry, but there's nothing in there to eat. And so we kids keep believing God. Dad said, don't worry about it. Just keep believing God. I said, well, they'll take us out after church, you know, but they didn't. So now we got Monday, and we just sat out at the table. Thank God we have food, and went on and said, don't worry about it. Don't get concerned. On Wednesday afternoon, finally a guy showed up with a pickup bed load full of food. And I heard him tell my dad, he said, well, God been dealing with me since Saturday night that you needed grocery, but I knew you didn't need none. But it got so bad today that I finally had to obey God. Well, you see, that's a situation. It took a few days. But we kept our peace, didn't talk about it, didn't tell nobody about it. Dad said, don't y'all say a word. We were peaceful, but it came to pass. You see, sometimes God has to work on some other situation before he can take care of your situation. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Let me understand that. All right. See, we need to, once you pray and ask God, take care of the situation, you put your confidence in him, and then he'll do what he said he'll do and promise, and you just have peace and go on and enjoy life. Hello. You see, anybody know who Finest Jennings Dake is? Let me see. How many people know about Finest Jennings Dake? How many of you have a Dake Bible? Well, that's a whole lot more hands. That's the guy that put that Bible together, Finest Jennings Dake. He also has he has God's Plan for Man. It's a whole series of lessons you can use. This is what he says. He gives his assurance that all prayer prayed in his name, that is the name of Jesus, will receive special attention, both himself and his Father and our Father. It is just like saying, you ask of the Father in my name, I will endorse it and the Father will give it. You know, speaking of a date, just before he went home to be with the Lord, my father-in-law had him down at his church and he taught. Now, if you've read the Dake Bible, even if you don't agree with everything he says and all that, you got to go a long way to get around him, and then you probably can't find enough scripture to do it. But anyway, this guy, he was something, what was he, 85 when he was there, hon? I think, yeah, I think he's 85. And so he said, okay, on Friday night, everybody come with your questions. And for, I think it was 2 hours, he stood up in front of the congregation and they asked questions, and he verbatim quoted from the Bible for 2 hours answering all of these Bible questions. Some of them didn't agree with him, but they said, we can't find scripture to refute what he's saying. But that was fine as Dake. And I've had the privilege when going to the CBA, the Christian Booksellers Convention, in previous years of meeting and talking with his grandsons, because they were still involved in printing that Bible. He was a Bible scholar. So now it says the first thing we had to do, what we have to do? Get rid of our care, right? Second thing we had to do was what? Bring it to the Lord. Pray, right? Third thing is think the right thoughts. Now let's go to Philippians 4:8 now and read what it says. See, all we did is take these scriptures and break them down. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now here it is in the NLT. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now notice what our thought life is to be. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are negative, excellent, and worthy of praise. Now, what can these thinking on those kinds of thoughts, what can that do? That can be a filter that helps screen out all the junk that people are talking to you about, that you hear on the television, the news, read in the newspaper, you hear somebody talking about. Those are the kind of words that can be a screen, say, wait a minute, a filter that say, wait a minute, I don't need to think those thoughts. How many of you know that you got filters on your car? You got a filter in the gas line, in the fuel line. You got a filter in the oil line. You got filters that you didn't know about in your air conditioning ducts and stuff. But what does that filter in the oil line do? That filter in the oil line, it traps pieces of, did you have to put it under a microscope to see metal that is working loose in that engine? Whether you realize it or not, those pistons going up and down, those rings, they wear little bits of metal off. How many of you are mechanics? How many of you know that's the truth? That's why you got to change your oil, because if you don't change your oil, then it really starts to break the metal down and you really got a problem on your hand. But they filter that out so that it don't get back into the engine and really cause a problem. A filter on the fuel line will cause any contamination in the tank, fuel tank, from getting up into your carburetor or your injectors now. When Cameron was racing out here at Port City, and he's a 15-year-old and he's winning the championship, and just 14, I guess he was. Anyway, and he's racing against adults, you know, 35, 40, 30 years old, and here's this kid that's beating them all, and he's winning. So, you know, we had run a heat race or something, and then we went to get ready to run the feature race and couldn't get the car to run. It didn't want to run and everything. And so first thing you check, you know, it was the fuel, and we took the fuel line loose, and the filter was full of sand. Somebody had put sand in our fuel tank. Isn't that right, Craig? You back there, wave your hand. Is that right? Yeah. Because they tired of this kid beating them, you know. Well, we found it earlier enough that was able to drain the tank and wash it out and put a new filter on, and we went out there and won. So whoever done it, they didn't accomplish what they were trying to accomplish. But if we hadn't had that filter on there, and he would have got out there and is sucking all that stuff up into that engine, by the end of those 25 laps, we would have probably blown that engine. Well, you know, that would just happen. You see, a filter filters out what doesn't need to get through. And you see, if you use these, what is it true? Is it honorable? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? You know, is it worthy of praise? If you use those as a filter, then hey, your mind don't get all muddled up with a bunch of junk. How many understand where I'm coming from? Anybody like that? I think that's good myself, even if I was saying it. We are responsible for our minds. Hello? According to the Word of God, we are to deal with strongholds, imaginations, you might say attitudes, our thought life. We are to get rid of anything that doesn't agree with what God says. See, you can determine not whether you're living in unity or strife with one another by what you're thinking. You know, some people always saying stuff about people, and they don't even know whether it's true or not. That's why it says, hey, wait a minute. You know, in a college class, and I'm pretty sure that they was talking about my dad because they did. A seminary professor, he was running down another minister for what he believed. He ranted the whole hour on it. So at the lunch, a student came up and asked him, he said, have you ever been in one of this man's meetings? And the professor said, no. Have you ever listened to him on television or radio? Have you ever read one of his books? And he said, no. So the college professor then was basing everything he was, all of his rant, everything he was saying on hearsay. He didn't allow the truth filter to work. What do you thought? You know, here he was making inaccurate statements to a whole classroom about things that were not true. Don't look at me like that. Now, what am I coming back to? We need to be careful what we say just because somebody else said it. It could be true or it not true. See, we need to rise up in the midst of life and have peace with God, because we don't carry our burdens. We cast it away. We know how to bring everything to him in prayer according to what the Word says. And we guard our minds with the these word filters that I just give you. And so we live a quiet and peaceful life with God, knowing that the enemy is coming against us, but I don't have to be concerned about the enemy. I don't have to be upset about the enemy. I don't have to be anxious about the enemy, because God has already told me what the answer is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I'm sorry, I went 3 minutes over 8 o'clock. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we took just a few moments to talk to these people about some things that we see that can help us in our spiritual life, help us to grow spiritually and mature spiritually. I thank you that each and every individual will take whatever part of this message was needed and apply it to their lives, and they will walk out of this place changed tonight. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you need to know him. You can't get into anything I was talking about until you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you happen to be here tonight and you know what it is to serve God, but you turned your back and you went away, you need to rededicate yourself. One person said he lost his faith and he needed to rededicate. Or maybe you go to church like a lot of people. And I talked to a man not long ago who said he went to church all of his life, ever since he's a kid. And he was an adult, and he said, I still go to church. But I don't know whether I've actually ever myself uttered the words and accepted Christ as my Savior. Well, you just don't get saved from going to church. You have to come and accept Christ. If that's you in this place tonight, when we dismiss, you come to the front. The ladies here and the men are over here. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for the Holy Spirit, if you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front. Everybody stand, please. Turn around and remember all the announcements. Sunday morning right here, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. 10 o'clock morning worship. Come believing, come expecting. Shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm gonna maintain peace in my life. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. Any reason you want prayer for healing, you want prayer for the Holy Spirit, somebody agree with you about something, come to the front right now. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.